state your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, John Daspin, the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsors. They are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. You can call them. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, just like Zarek Valentin of the Houston Dynamo. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant refinery. Daspit Law Firm is going to cover you 24/7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need, DaspitLaw.com. They're putting soccer on the radio for you. So a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, the next guy, guess what? He's been covering Major League Soccer since its inception. He's one of the gold standard guys that people follow around the country. I do believe, Mr. Goff, you were the first to let everybody know that there might be a tournament format in Orlando at Disney. Stephen Goff of the Washington Post joins us. Goff, how are you?
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm good, my man. Tell me a little bit about, your thoughts on Orlando and MLS going down there, how in stone you might think that is, what you've heard, and kind of get us all caught up on it.
Yeah, I think they're getting close. I think the sooner they lock this down, the better. But obviously nothing happens without the MLS Players Association agreeing to it. You're asking a lot of the players. You're talking, 4, 6, 8 weeks away from their families, largely in isolation. The risk of illness still remains prevalent in our country and around the world. So there's a lot to talk about between the league and the Players Association. And they're still also talking about, salary cuts in a year where revenue is going to be devastated by the pandemic and the lack of game day audiences, sponsorships, and everything else that goes along with it. Sports are suffering like in almost every other business. So still some hurdles to overcome. I think it's going to happen. I imagine it's going to happen. But we'll wait to see what they come up with, hopefully in the next week or two.
Now, there are a lot of players that are balking a little bit about being in quarantine and being down there that long. Alejandro Bedoya says, look, I want to get back to playing competitive games. I know he's been pretty vocal. He thinks it's a little bit rushed. He kind of takes the point that, there's just a little bit of a rush to it, and he thinks the players are the ones taking all the risks going down to Orlando, being isolated. What do you say to that, and how many players have you heard? I mean, I know there's players that have wives that are pregnant that don't want to leave them. Could this be something that starts without a number of key players?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's got to be an option on the table that if your situation calls for it, or if you're not comfortable doing this, that you are able to opt out. Certainly that would affect your paycheck. But these are extraordinary circumstances, and bringing all teams to one site is an extraordinary measure. But at the same time, you've got to give the players the flexibility to, to stay home to, to care for a family, or if they have any kind of underlying conditions that might make them more susceptible. Things like that have to be taken into account. The women are going through the same thing with their with plans there to be in one site, the women's league. So, absolutely. But everyone's going to have to make some sacrifices. Certainly, you don't want to put your health at risk. But, you know, being away and going to a second training camp, so to speak, is really the only way to do it if you decide as a league and as a players' union that you are going to go forward this summer and, you know, start playing again.
So do you see this as sort of, all right, we're going to do a tournament here, maybe the games are going to count to the schedule, and then this is sort of buying time, getting the players fit, and then the hope is that you have some sort of a schedule back in stadiums at some point. Is that kind of how the plan is being laid out?
Yeah, the best I can understand it. I mean, ideally you get teams, you get players into Orlando for 3 weeks of training camp, taking you to around the 1st of July. Then you start playing matches. You know, you're playing. The idea I've heard is that these matches count towards regular season, and then the teams that have performed the best move on to a knockout stage, which would not count towards regular season. You know, there's no perfect way of doing this. We're in extraordinary times, like I said before, and you know, it's not going to be normal in any way. You're going to need about 3 weeks. That seems to be what everyone's been saying to get the players back up to match fitness. The form, you know, we'll see how that comes along as they start playing competitive matches. The weather is certainly going to be a factor in Orlando, hot, humid weather in the middle of the summer. You know, it's not going to be ideal football as we know it. But it's a way to start playing again. You play for a few weeks, you get some matches in, and then we'll see where we are as a country. Can you play in home venues with no spectators? Can you play in home venues with, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand spectators?
20% of capacity or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen Goff of the Washington Post joining us. Stephen, so the other thing I wanted to get to here with you is, have you talked to people in the NWSL? I know you have. They're going to do the same thing in Utah.
They're trying,
Yeah. Now, my understanding, that may just be a one-off tournament, and then they're going to say that's their season. Is that what I'm hearing out there, rumor-wise, or is that something that's legit?
I haven't heard that. I think they hope to be able to play this tournament in Utah in late June and into July, and then you know, like with MLS, see where things stand. You know, can you play games again late this summer in home markets with no crowds or small crowds into the fall? I don't know. I mean, maybe they just say, "Look, we got back. We're back on the map. We played some matches. We showed we're still here. We're relevant. But playing games in home markets is just going to cost us too much money. We're going to shut it down, and we're going to hope for the best come 2021. That's possible as well. But I think, you know, they're hopeful that situation financially and safety and health-wise allows for the resumption of the season down the road. We're just in uncharted territory. Who knows what the next steps are in a couple months?
Yeah, it's all on the timeline of the virus. I mean, you must be tired like me of all the hypotheticals.
Sure.
And the woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah.
And this could potentially happen. Yeah. And this could potentially happen. I mean, at some point, with time waiting for no one right now, you know, we're almost through May now. Now, if the MLS wants this tournament to begin in July, something's going to have to happen pretty soon, right?
Yeah, I mean, initially the date they were throwing out that I heard was June 1st to get teams down to Orlando. That seems almost impossible. Now we're looking at, you know, maybe June 8th to get down there. They can get 3 weeks of training in, which takes them to the end of June. And then you play games. Play matches for several weeks in July, and then wrap it up with some sort of tournament format, and you're done by the end of July. And then, you know, see where we are for the month of August. And if you have to wait to resume matches in the home markets, you know, in September or later, then I think that's the plan. The league's fully prepared, it seems, to play right into the winter and have a championship in the dead of winter. Obviously, it would be a predetermined warm weather site or an indoor site or whatever to avoid extreme conditions. But that's how it seems to be looking.
So guys like Carlos Vela, who's got a pregnant wife, Nani, these are all guys that have a lot of money, have earned a lot in their careers. They could easily say, look, you know, I can't leave my family. Does that make a big difference at this point, or is it just about getting players on the field and playing games?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to take that into consideration, that there are going to be teams that are missing players, some more important than others. We're going to see it with the women as well. I mean, several U.S. national team players at the moment say they are opting out. They are not going to do this. They don't feel like this is necessary. They're earning salaries anyway from the U.S. Soccer Federation, so they don't even work for the NWSL teams. They're employed by the USSF, who they're not exactly getting along with these days. NWSL has a tournament, and, you know, maybe Megan Rapinoe's not there, and maybe Becky Sauerbrunn skips it, and Tobin Heath says forget it. So same thing with MLS, a guy like Carlos Vela, some other players who have raised serious legitimate concerns about such a tournament in one location so soon during a pandemic.
Now, what we've seen with the Bundesliga is we definitely see everybody pulling in the same direction. I don't think there's any question. At least out front, visible. What you just mentioned with the NWSL and U.S. soccer's, you know, national team players not wanting to go, and it is kind of understandable, though, right? I mean, you know, that.
Yeah.
It's such a difficult situation for everybody involved, but you still have to protect the integrity of the league. You have to be conscious of health. There's just so many dynamics going on here. I think a lot that we don't even know, and you would know more than me because you're the ultimate sleuth out there. But I don't know.
There's another element. Yeah, I mean, I think there's another element here too that we can't ignore, and that is the fact that, you know, soccer in this country is, you know, behind professional baseball and basketball, and certainly football, and, you know, and some college sports as well. And I think there are some soccer owners out there in this country who see an opportunity to fill this void, the lack of live sports right now, with their league. You know, they see opportunity here, and opportunity is perhaps overshadowing the health concerns, that they're putting the visibility of the league and the opportunity to raise the profile of the leagues over the guaranteed health of their employees. So, you know, I think that's part of the maybe just a small part, but it's certainly something that's driving both these leagues towards resumption of play so soon this summer.
Stephen Gompp, Washington Post. So the Montreal Impact, New York Red Bulls, New York City FC, they're the latest teams to get clearance to join the other 19 MLS teams to start training. So they're way behind it. I mean, there's also this thought of, competitive edge, like the Houston Dynamo are still in individual training down here, which started May 7th. Take me into D.C. because you cover them. You've covered them throughout your career very intensely. What's going on with D.C. United, and what's kind of the vibe coming out of United in the nation's capital?
D.C. is one of three MLS teams that do not have permission locally to conduct individual workouts. The other two are Chicago and San Jose. There is going to be introduction of phase one in Northern Virginia, which is a suburb of Washington, starting this Friday. And that seems to be the time DC United will be able to conduct these individual workouts. Somewhere in Virginia, they do have a new complex under construction in Leesburg out near Dulles Airport. That would seem like the most likely place. But, you know, for the last couple months, players have been on their own, you know, finding local schools or parks or neighborhoods or, you know, a neighbor's backyard or whatever, just to work out. Yeah, a wall at a side of a building, whatever. And it doesn't put them at a disadvantage, I guess, a little bit. I mean, it's not like teams are out there in full training. Still have the group and full team moratoriums around the league. So, once everyone's in the same, on a level playing field, so to speak, I think, they'll all catch up at some point soon.
Stephen, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming on. Stephen Goff of the Washington Post. He is, you got to follow him. What's the Twitter handle again, Stephen? Soccer Insider?
Soccer Insider.
Yeah, at Soccer Insider, Stephen Goff, truly one of the best. Thank you, Stephen.
All right, Glenn, anytime.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Stephen Goff, tremendous information there, and he broke the story that was going down to Orlando. Okay, when we come back, Miguel Ferrarones, he is a partner, he's the CEO of Soccer Services in Barcelona. This is going to be an interesting interview. It's a two-part. It's a company that works with Barcelona, PSG, number of clubs in South America. They work with individuals like Christian Pulisic, Cesc Fabregas. When we come back, player and club development with Miguel Ferrarones on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They cover you 24/7, nights and weekends. You get in an accident, whether it's car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, Daspit Law Firm has you covered. Let's take a break. We're coming back. More of the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed.
ESPN 97.5.